Thank you. If you could turn your Bibles to the book of Titus, sheets were out there and in the foyer. Does anyone need a sheet before we get started tonight? Maybe need a sheet? Okay, good. Okay. Corby, could you tip that back and get a couple of sheets? Okay, up here toward the front. Morgan's up here in the front. Okay. Anyone else need a sheet tonight? Okay. With Corby on the other side as well. Tonight we're going to start our series on doctrines. Pastor said we're going to preach on doctrine on Thursday evenings. And so tonight's first lesson is kind of why is sound doctrine important? Is it important? The answer is yes, but the question is it is why? Okay. Anybody need a copy of the notes before we get started? Okay, if you go stand, I invite you to stand as we read God's Word tonight. We're going to read a portion of Scripture, and then we'll get started for the night. Book of Titus, chapter 1, and verse 10, says, we'll look at verse 9. Titus 1, 9, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able to sound by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true. Wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Chapter 2, verse 1 be our text. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we ask you to bless your word tonight. Thank you for the time of study. Lord, I pray you recall to my memory the things I've studied. Lord, I pray, Lord, you would just work in my heart tonight and work in the heart of the folks here. Lord, help us see the importance of sound doctrine. Accomplish your will tonight. And Lord, again, we do pray for pastor and his family while they're away. Pray you give them a safe time and maybe a time of rest there as well. And pray they might be able to be back safely tomorrow afternoon. And Lord, I thank you for our church and for people so faithful tonight. Lord, I pray you'd help us to continue to learn, continue to grow as a church. We ask in Christ's name, amen. Thank you. You could have a seat. On our notes, it just starts out with the text and the title. Why is sound doctrine important? We see in chapter 1 of our text that Paul has addressed those who were teaching false doctrine. Now in chapter 2, he's exhorting young Timothy to go a step further and to teach sound doctrine. I meant to write them down, but I forgot to. There are two Greek words that mean doctrine, and they are translated 140 times in the New Testament. They're translated as doctrine, teacheth, learning, truth, faith, wholesome words, and sound words. So now we're going to look a little bit about sound doctrine. We're going to start first by we're going to define doctrine according to Webster's 1820 dictionary. Doctrine here in your notes says, in a general sense, whatever is taught, hence a principle or a position in any science, whatsoever is laid down as true by an instructor or master. The doctrines of Christ are the principles that taught, the principle truths taught by Christ, his apostles, the doctrine of Plato, are which he has taught. And then there in that blank, you need to write this if you would, a doctrine can be true or false. A doctrine can be true or false. And I promised Ms. Jones I would go slower tonight when I give y'all time to write. So a doctrine can be true or false. But just because it's taught, it doesn't make it right. So a doctrine can be true or false. So that's the definition of a doctrine according to Webster 1828. And then the next word there is the word sound. We see there's a couple of blanks. We see that sound in the dictionary means founded in truth. Founded in truth, firm, strong, valid, solid, that cannot be refuted. It's also translated as whole or wholesome. So if you combine those two words, And I got one correction here in this sentence. Combine these two words, we see that sound doctrine is sound teaching. There's the, just above teaching, I wrote sound. Is sound teaching that is based on the Word of God. Our doctrine is not based on the words of man, but on the very words of God. Sound teaching is sound teaching based upon the Word of God. Now, there's that first blank. If you want to write 2 Timothy 3:16, we're going to turn over there. 2 Timothy 3:16. 2 Timothy 3:16. This is where our doctrine comes from. 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So we see that our doctrine is based on the Word of God. And then on the other blank, right across from that, if you write down 2 Timothy 2:15, then we'll back up a couple of chapters. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, we see here that we have a responsibility to study the Word of God. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." So we see that we make sure our teaching is sound because we study and we rightly divide the word of God. So sound doctrine is sound teaching based on the Word of God. Would be a definition we're going to use tonight of sound doctrine. What's important? And then Roman numeral 1. Sound doctrine is important because our faith is based on the Word of God. That blank there is on the Word of God. Sound doctrine is important because our faith is based on the Word of God. And then letter A. If you would look at 1 Corinthians 15, you're going to get through these notes and go back and review them. First Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3 and 4. Try to speak slowly tonight. I got early this morning without a hat on, and my head got cold, and I got a headache. So, enough whining, but I do have a headache. My wife don't feel sorry for me. She says, "If I don't wear a hat, I'm on my own." 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and verse 3 and 4. "For I delivered unto you, first of all, which what I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." Key word is according to the Scriptures. "And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scripture." So we see there that our doctrine is based on sound teaching because it's according to the Word of God. Now back over to Romans 6:17, letter B there. I think it should be already typed out in your notes. Romans 6:17. Is it warm in here? Maybe it's not me hot. Burn it up. Romans 6:17. Says this. "No, I heard giggling. Okay, Romans 6:17. But God be thanked that you were served to sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you." Paul again is referring to the Word of God. And then under B, go ahead and write letter C in there. There's a little space there. Letter C. Romans 10:17. Romans 10:17. So we're going to get all these notes out, and we'll go back. It said, "So that faith come to hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." So we should see it's important because our faith is based on the Word of God. Then on down to Roman number 2, we see sound doctrine is important because it was committed to us, and we're told to contend to it, for it. Sound doctrine is important because it was committed to us, and we are told to contend for it. Then letter A there. We have Jude chapter 1. Are they going too fast, Lydia? Okay. Jude chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Or Jude 1, verse 3 and 4. Says this, "Being beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which once delivered to the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, letter B, turn back to 2 Timothy chapter 1. A lot of scriptures tonight, so hopefully you take these home and you look them up. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13. Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13 and 14 says this: hold fast that form of sound words, again, sound doctrine, sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. So we see the sound doctrine is important because it was committed to us, and we are told to contend for it. So number one, it's important because it's based on the Word of God. Number two, it's important because it's committed to us, and we're told to contend for it. Then on down to Romans number 3 there, sound doctrine is important because what we believe determines our direction. Well, what we believe determines our direction, and our direction determines our destination. Sound doctrine is important because what we believe determines our direction, and our direction determines our destination. And then the illustration there, letter A, the men who believe there's no right or wrong will behave differently than a man who has no morals in his life. So what we believe determines our action. Look at if you would down to 2 Timothy 3:16. 2 Timothy 3:16. Our thought here on point number 3 is it determines our direction. So we're going to get through this and we're going to come back. 2 Timothy 3:16. We've already read these. All scriptures are given by inspiration of God, profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. We see here, you know, the way we live, you know, the way I believe affects the way I live. You know, tonight, you know, if I was up here on a tall bridge and brother, who wants to be an example of me tonight? I need somebody. Brother Morgan, Brother Joshua Morgan, can I pray real quick, Brother Morgan? Let's say now we're standing on a real tall bridge, and I believe I can fly. You come up here, Brother Morgan. Yeah, you know, and I believe that I can fly. I believe I can take off and I can just fly wherever I want to go. I can just get up. I can dive and fly and coast around and, you know, soar like an eagle. Now he believes that I'm stupid. He believes there's no way he can fly. He knows I can't fly, and he believes that he can't fly. Now we're here on the edge of the bridge, okay? You know, and I'm brave. I'm don't let me fall. I take my feet. I hang off. You know, and I wiggle my foot over the tall bridge. You know, because I think, well, if I fall, no big deal. I can fly. Well, what I believe, you know, determines how I act. Now he believes, If he slips and falls, he's gone. He won't take the chances that I will take, and he definitely won't jump off the bridge like I would. Why? Because what we believe determines our determines our direction in life. And folks, thank you, brother. You need to say it's important that we have sound doctrine so that we know what we believe, and it will affect the way that we live our life. I know. I touched on somebody the other day. With years ago, another church down in Cincinnati, the youth pastor, he came out of the same college that I did, and had been taught some things I'd been taught that weren't quite right. So he went there as youth director of a solid, sound church, as far as folks knew, a solid church, a sound church. I mean, you know, they had bus routes, and they had ministries, and they was going, and they was growing, and they was very active in soul winning. It was going gun ho. Well, he came in as youth director, and what he believed, eventually, stuck into his youth group. about there's no need for strong teaching. There's no need for strong preaching. There is no need, to rebuke people when they're wrong from the Word of God. There's no need to say that they stand. You know, and so he affected his youth group, and then years later he became head of the young adult the department there, and he taught that same thing there, and he taught that to them, and then the pastor left, and he became pastor. That same church that was once a strong powerhouse of the gospel, of missions, and a solid church, now is just a clubhouse. They have rock bands. They have rock concerts. They have strobe lights. They have smoke. I hear a couple summers ago that they had a Harley blessing. They had all the Harleys in the auditorium. Anybody in Cincinnati wanted to bring the Harley, the preacher. They had a Harley blessing, and they had a rock group. And they had horns on the altar, and smoke came out of the horns. Foreign in the 70s. That would never happen in that church in the 70s. But what happened? What one man believed, he taught. What those young people believed, they began to apply. As they got older and they grew up there in the church, they stayed there, and what they believed grew to father and father from the truth. And right now, I almost showed a video of the church tonight, but I just couldn't do it. It's too sad. What happened? What they believed determined their direction. Their direction determined their destination. We need sound teaching, sound preaching, so that we know what we believe. Now, on the back page, number four, sound doctrine is important because we need to know the truth in order to recognize false teaching. Sound doctrine is important because we need to know the truth in order to recognize false teaching. And then there at letter A, 1 John 4:1. 1 John, the importance of sound doctrine, sound teaching needed today. I thank the Lord our church has it. Our pastor still does it. Praise the Lord for that. Look at 1 John 4, verse 1. 1 John 4:1. Says this: Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. It's important that we recognize false doctrine. Now, look, letter B says that's Matthew 7:5. They should say Matthew 7:15. So if you're going to correct that there, Matthew 7:15. It's more of a teaching time tonight. Matthew 7:15. We're going to look at that. Matthew 7:15 says this: Beware of false prophets which come unto you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Beware of false prophets. It's important that we know sound doctrine to be able to recognize the false prophets. Now look over to Matthew 10:16. Matthew 10:16. Matthew 10:16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. We need to know sound doctrine so we can recognize the false teachers. Then lastly, I'll go over to Acts 20:29, still under Roman number 4. Acts 20:29. It is Paul's charge to the Ephesus. Take heed. We read verse 28 and 29. 28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves, into all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseer, to feed the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood. For I know this, that after mighty parting shall grievous wolves enter in among you, and not sparing the flock. So it's important that we know sound doctrine because we need to know the truth in order to recognize false teaching. Then on down to Roman number 4. Sound doctrine is important because it encourages believers and refutes the gainslayers. It is important because it encourages believers and refutes the gainslayers. Letter A, we see there that it encourages the believers. Psalm 119, 165. Psalm 119, 165 says this: great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. We're encouraged by the word of God. And then look over Titus 1:9, which we see it exhorts and refutes the gainsayers. Titus 1:9. Titus chapter 1, verse 9. Says this: holding fast the faithful word as has been taught, that he may be able to exhort by sound doctrine, both to exhort and to convince the gainslayers. We hear the sound doctrine that basically converts the gainslayers, those that are opposed to Christ. So now, as a review, before we get to point five, which is our main point, let's go back to point number one. Sound doctrine is important because our faith is based on the Word of God, so it's important that we know sound doctrine, so we know the Word of God. Sound doctrine is important because it was committed to us, and we're told to contend for it. That's a command. We're told to do that. Romans 3, sound doctrine is important because what we believe determines our direction, and our direction determines our destination. It's important to know sound doctrine. Number 4, sound doctrine is important because we need to know truth in order to recognize false teaching. And then sound doctrine is important because it encourages believers and refutes the gainsayers. I need Coy, Corby, Sam, Daniel, Caleb. Can you get coming up here just for a second? Okay, these three guys here. Okay. You stand here, and you stand here, and you stand here, and you stand over here, just a little bit over here. And you stand over here. Okay. Okay. Now, sound doctrine was given for us to contend and commit to. Paul wrote. Now today. I'm Paul. I'm the old man, hunched over, can't see, legs hurt, knees hurt. I'm the old man. I'm Paul, and I Paul delivered to the first generation sound doctrine, gave them the Word of God, sound teaching on the Word of God, and they in turn passed it on to the next generation. Again, sound doctrine, clear teaching based on the Word of God. Again, on the next generation, sound teaching, with the Word of God, and then they pass it on. Okay, it stops right here now for a second. What happens when one generation quits listening to sound doctrine? They turn their ears away from sound doctrine. The end times shall be perilous times. Men shall turn away from sound doctrine. It's scary today in my lifetime, and I'm not an old man yet. I don't think, but I'm an old man. I've seen so many changes in churches that used to be on fire for God. Now they had no zeal, they had no drive, they had nothing there. The church that I mentioned to you a while ago, it's sad to walk in there. I was there years and years ago, at the church years ago, And man, they had a great testimony. But now, the pastor, he's a great guy, but he's got a ponytail down his back. I saw him a while back at the hospital, and, you know, been making visits. He could come in, you know, in his khaki shorts and just I got a little scrawl on his shirt. Hey man, you know, he's sincere. But somewhere along the way, sound doctrine stopped at that church. Now they have things there. It's unreal what goes on there. I know the pastor, and my cousins go to that church. I know of what I speak. But somewhere along the way, someone quit contending for and passing down sound doctrine. And as a result, there's now a generation. They have the Word of God, but because they haven't been taught, that they've allowed other versions of the Word of God to come into the churches, and that they read other versions, and they see no need for the old archaic King James, and they see no need for standards and for strong teaching and to confront sin. My question is this: what is our church doing about sound doctrine? Are we continuing to be committed to it, to contend for it, and to pass it on to the next generation? This year, every Thursday night would be preached on doctrine. It'd be every Thursday night with the pastor is going to preach on doctrine. I encourage us tonight to stop and say, Lord, help me take it seriously. Lord, I've heard it before, but Lord, remind me again. Because folks, in our lifetime, sometimes if we don't use it, we forget it. The other night, I got a new. I'm trying to be more techie this year, so I've upgraded to a Bible memory thing on my phone. And as a verse, I thought, well, I'm gonna start with verses that I know. Isaiah 41:10, one of my favorite verses. I thought, I know this verse, you know. So I'll begin to type it out. I said, you know, I just stop and think. I hadn't used it for a while. We're the same way with our doctrine sometimes, with our sound teaching. That's why, okay, some folks have been here for many years have asked me. This one person said, you know, that we aren't sure we're saved if we get to heaven or not. Is that true? Been here a long time. Sound doctrine. Sometimes we come and we sit in the pew. We sit here, our minds wander, and instead of being aggressively listening to what's being taught, we sit there and we're passive listeners. And then we miss some, so we'll probably hand off the next generation. There's some lacking, and what they do, there's some lacking, and before long, we end in a mess. The majority of churches out there on the wall back where our church came from, they're either a mess or they're non-existent. Why, at some point, someone quit contending for and passing down sound doctrine. Thank you guys. You can have a seat. Now, let's go on to room number five. There's some things how I should react to the preaching and teaching of sound doctrine. Room number five there in your notes. Room number five says sound doctrine is important, and we have the responsibility. Okay. We have the responsibility to look at John 7:17. We got the responsibility number one to know it. Look at John 7:17. John 7:17 says this: if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. Folks, it's important. And then look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. I don't want to get in a hurry. 1 John 2:20. John chapter 2 and verse 20, 21 and 27, for your notes say. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20, verse 21 says this: But you have an unction from the Holy Ghost, and you know all things. And look at verse 21, for I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of a truth. Look at verse 27. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and you need not that any should man teach you, but the same anointing teacheth you of all things. Folks, you know, we've got responsibility to know them, to know sound doctrine. And then look on letter B, 2 Timothy 2:15. Letter B, 2 Timothy 2:15. To know it, to study it. 2 Timothy 2:15 says this. Study to show self approved unto God, a workman need not be ashamed, right? By the word, dividing the word of truth. It's important that we take time to study our Bibles, that we take time to study sound doctrine. So our responsibility is to know it, to study it. Then looking back to Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Acts 2, verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. It's important that we know it, we study it, we continue in things that we are taught. And then look at Ephesians 4:13. Ephesians 4:13. Ephesians 4:13 says this, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and of cunning of craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. We need to be careful of the winds of doctrine. Be careful of the winds of doctrine. And in this age of social media, there's so much stuff out there that draws folks away. So we need to know sound doctrine. We need to study sound doctrine. We need to continue in sound doctrine. We need to be careful. Be careful of the winds of false doctrine. And then lastly tonight, look at 1 Timothy 6:1. 1 Timothy 6:1-3. First Timothy chapter 6. As many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. Verse 3, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to the wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. The key word there is godliness. And then look over at Titus 2:1. Says this, but speak of things which become sound doctrine. And our thought led our ease to adorn our doctrine with godly living. Adorn our doctrine with godly living. It's important not only to have sound doctrine and to know sound doctrine, but to apply to our lives in every area. It's important that our church learn, continue in, contend for, and continue to grow in sound doctrine. There is no guarantee our church will be a solid church in 25 years. There's no guarantee. I always like Brother Doug's his testimony, how he faithfully, because Zadil is the church it was when he was a kid, and now his grandkids are here. The same doctrine, the same contending is there. But we're only one generation away from being one of the churches out there on the wall that no longer teach and preach sound doctrine. We're only one generation away from being an example of what what can happen when One Generation quits preaching sound doctrine. I encourage us this year, I'm encouraging myself, let's take and let's go back and let's look at sound doctrine again. Let's remind ourselves of, you know, of truth, and let's live it and let's apply it to our lives and see the importance of it. I want my grandkids to grow up here. I want my grandkids to be taught as I was taught. I want their kids, God's willing, they be here and they raised here. But this I know, they was members of that church that has now gone south. They had the same desire. But somewhere along the way, they quit preaching and teaching false doctrine. They quit adorning their lives with godliness. They begin to step away from the truths that was handed down to them for new ideas and new methods and new thoughts. The power is not in the new. It's in God's way. If we want to see God's blessing upon our church continue as they have been all these years, we need to continue in sound doctrine. Continue to preach it, to study it, to live it, to know it. And what's God bless? Christ said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. The way to draw folks to Christ is not to drop the standards, not to drop the standards of teaching and preaching and stop rebuking people. It's to lift Christ. And sometimes part of doctrine is rebuking. 2 Timothy 3:16 is given for doctrine, for correction, for instruction, for reproof. It's given for all four of those things. Those are all sound teaching. That's all sound doctrine. So this year, I encourage you and myself and my wife for us to step back. And when it's preached and taught, sit there and listen and say, God, help me listen with all my being, Lord. Help me listen with anything I got. Lord, I want to learn. I want to grow. I want to be stronger. Because if we cease to be a strong church, we will cease to be a church that God is blessing. And we'll go backwards. How are we involved this year in sound doctrine? Let's listen to it, learn it, know it, and apply it, and watch God bless. If we stand with heads bowed and eyes closed, please.